Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. We're glad that some of you started to say happy Mother's Day to me, too. All right. Hey, we're glad that you're here today. Glad that we can open God's Word together to glorify Christ as we grow into His image. I would invite you to turn not to Ephesians today, but to Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10. We're at a bit of a transition point in our walk through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be there for quite a while. So I wanted to take advantage of the opportunity on Mother's Day to thank God for the beautiful gift, yes, of motherhood, but perhaps more broadly, the gift of womanhood. Because we live in a very strange day and age. Questions and concepts that have never needed to be addressed throughout human history now find themselves at the center of great cultural controversy. Questions like, what is a woman? What makes a woman unique? And what makes a woman uniquely valuable? These are questions of our day. You know, I have good news for you today. The only place where we find solid, grounded, rooted, unchanging, uplifting, and definitive answers to these questions and many more is the Bible. It's God's Word. The bad news is that the voice of the Scripture when it comes to these discussions today is largely ignored. Even mocked. We live in a time when God's core, central, and beautiful definitions for female flourishing have been replaced, frankly, by skewed versions of cultural stereotypes. Cultural womanhood has become a shell, a mockery of what the Bible defines as one of the most beautiful gifts that He has given humankind as persons created in His image for His glory and according to His purposes. So I want us to ask today, how then should we as Christians understand and celebrate biblical womanhood? You know, for some perspective on this, I went to the fount of all knowledge. I went to Google. And, you know, one of the features of Google is autofill. As you're typing, Google fills in what you're typing with what other people are searching for. It says, this is a popular search. Perhaps you're searching for that as well. Now, Google autofill provides a very interesting snapshot of where we are culturally. And so I was wondering, what do people today think a woman should be or should strive for? What are people asking? What are they wondering? So I typed in, Google, what makes a woman? And I let Google fill it in. And here's what Google filled in. These are popular searches. What makes a woman physically attractive? Next was, what makes a woman beautiful? What makes a woman look younger? What makes a woman memorable to a man? And just to see what Google would say, I typed in the search, a woman's worth is in her, and you want to know the first thing that popped up? A woman's worth is in her hair. So by this definition, according to Google, ladies, you should desire to be a memorable woman with great hair, which will make you younger looking and physically attractive enough to possibly be considered beautiful. According to Google, this is your goal. This is your purpose. And for comparison, I went to Amazon and I typed in the top selling products for women. And I looked at the top 10. Four of the top 10 were face creams branded as anti-aging. Four others were clothing items. Another was a hair product, and the last was a diet pill called Skinny Gal. And I admit, this is highly anecdotal, this is very unscientific, and it doesn't necessarily prove anything concretely. But as an outside observer, the way that women are targeted, and exploited, and shamed, and goaded by the voices of this world who are trying to shape them into some form of cultural ideal, I think these results are somewhat accurate. They're consistent. They're quite telling. And may I say, ladies, it looks exhausting. I mean, it looks like socially a woman's value is found in her ability to succeed in a battle that she cannot possibly win because it's forged against an unstoppable opponent, and that opponent is time. Can I tell you today, ladies, the Bible, the Word of God, paints a much different picture of your value and your worth and your significance as a woman. So let's look at Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. And Proverbs 31 is actually an acrostic, beginning with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But picking up in verse 10, it says, "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable, so her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." The book of Proverbs begins with an emphatic charge to learn and to apply true wisdom and godly knowledge. This introduction is summed up in chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." The book then goes on for 9 chapters personifying godly wisdom and knowledge as a woman, as Lady Wisdom, and contrasts her with a destructive path of this world personified as Lady Folly. And at this point, the reader of Proverbs is kind of placed at an impasse between these two women, these two paths. And chapters 7 and 8 animate the voices of these women who are calling out to the reader. And the first voice is that of Lady Folly. And it's loud and defiant. She comes in the night and lures with flattery and impulse to embrace immediate pleasures and stolen delights. She says, "Let us eat the forbidden fruit and take us where it may." But the author is clear. The end of this way is death and destruction. Then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Doesn't wisdom call out?" And we discover that wisdom also calls out, saying, "Do not take the path of the immediate and the seductive. I offer you a prepared place, a tried and true way. I offer you the path of true wisdom, true joy, and true life." And so Proverbs begins with two women, but only one is left standing in the end, and that's the woman of godly character, the personification of Lady Wisdom. And this theme culminates in Proverbs 31 as a poetic celebration of godly womanhood. And verse 10 says, "An excellent wife who can find," the King James translates it, "who can find a virtuous woman." The Hebrew here is Isha Kail. Isha being a generic word in the Hebrew for women, but Kail literally means a force. It's often used to describe a strong army. It's marked by virtue, valor, might, and ability. So literally, what the writer asks here is, who can find an army of a woman? Because that's what Lady Wisdom is. That's the ideal presented here. So the book of Proverbs closes with a simple question. What should a woman of God be? And so, sisters, note this text. Not just the words, but the significance of what its inclusion in the scripture means. This emphasis contained here in God's word means that in the economy of God, ladies, your holiness matters. Your decision-making matters. Your activity, what you do and don't do, matters. Your character matters. Your holiness matters. But also, your life and your work and your faith is biblically vital. Notice, there is no parallel passage to this for men. Now, certainly we have examples of godly men throughout the scripture. We're given clear standards for male leadership in the home and in the church, and the Bible provides many encouragements for men to be godly men. But as for a substantive passage of scripture that says this is what a godly man is, this scripture has no parallel. Ladies, in the economy of God, your holiness is significant. Now, before we go any further, I want to address two temptations, two dangers for us to avoid at this point. And the first would be to take on the mistaken assumption that this text is not for me. Particularly, I first want to address the men listening. Men, before you think this text is not for you, let me ask, how many of your lives have been impacted greatly by a godly woman? Yeah. Men, the character of godly women matters for us, and it matters to us. A woman's character is worth our attention and our respect. And as men, it is incumbent upon us to uplift and to encourage and to praise our sisters in Christ as they press on toward holiness. So, brothers in Christ, these verses provide ways for us to encourage our sisters in Christ. These are specific areas to lift them up in prayer. Now, single men, you may be looking for a wife someday. Proverbs 31 offers the type of woman to pursue. Married men, The Bible says that God will judge us based on the way we treat our wives. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Okay, so men, don't come in here on Sunday morning speaking praises and prayers to God and then go use that same mouth to demean your wife over lunch. Or on the golf course, joking about the old ball and chain. Men, if you want to be a man of godly character, speak well of your wife. Proverbs 31 has plenty to say about a man's role in the life of a godly woman as well. So men, don't miss out by assuming Proverbs 31 is not for you. Now, single women, I know that this is Mother's Day, and many translations of verse 10 say wife, and certainly the text does talk about the woman's husband and her children. The woman described here is a wife. But notice this. Her character attributes are not dependent on her husband or grounded in her children. The attributes of a godly woman are her own attributes that apply to her circle of influence, which in this case is a household with a husband and children. But the attributes are hers. They are practiced by her. They are cultivated by her and attributed to her as an individual. This is not just about being a good wife or a good mom. This is about being a woman of godly character. So no matter who you are or what stage of life you're in today, this text applies to you. So that's the first temptation that I want us to avoid. The second temptation would be to take on the idea that this text is a burden. And I want to be very careful here, because one of the fundamental ways that women often wound themselves and others is with the razor-sharp weapon of comparison. And it could be very easy, as we hold up this picture of godly biblical womanhood, to hear, "Well, see, why can't you just be more like her?" To have you go home feeling like a failure because you don't measure up to her and you just need to do more or be more. You need to get a job or quit your job or get your kids under control or loosen up on your kids or give more away or save more for the family. To have you think, "She's making her own clothes and I can't even keep up with the laundry." Okay, if that is the voice in your head even now, stop. That is not the point of this text. For many of you ladies, I know your heart is to be like this woman, but as you are tested, your concern is that you won't or don't measure up. And to you, I say, Proverbs 31 talks about attributes of a godly woman. But let these attributes serve as areas of encouragement, not judgment. Okay, this is a finishing line, not a measuring rod. By God's grace in Christ, may this be the woman that you strive to be. But remember, the ultimate ideal, the ultimate goal, is not to measure up to a woman, but to become more like Jesus as you trust and follow him every day. So this morning, if you feel a weight from this passage, let it not be one that presses you down, but one that God uses to lift you up. As we walk through Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, ask not, "How do I compare to her God-given gifts and talents and abilities?" used in her circle of influence. but ask, how am I using the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given me within my circle of influence for his glory and for our good? Proverbs 31, a woman of godly character is four things. First, a woman of godly character is others-centered. She's others-centered. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So from these verses, we see that the woman of godly character is a benefit to her husband. And how is she a benefit? Well, verse 11, she is trustworthy, meaning she does what she says she will do. Verse 12, she is consistent and consistently good. And because of this consistency, she is seen by her husband as trustworthy. And because he trusts her and knows that she will get the job done, it frees and encourages him to thrive in his areas. But verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. So not only is she centered on the well-being of her husband, but her entire household. She takes care of her kids. She provides for those within her circle of influence. And how does she do it? Verse 15, she does it self-sacrificially. She rises while it is still night. Look, there are very few things that I would rise to do while it is still night. Whatever those things might be, they would be extremely high priority for me. Now, here in verse 15, the woman of godly character rises in the night to do what? To provide for others. It's a priority for her. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. So not only does she care for her family, for her household, she cares for outsiders. And notice her posture here. She's not just ready to meet a need. It's not just that her hands are full, or her hands open to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not just ready, she is active in caring for outsiders. The woman of godly character is proactive in her posture to take care for those within her reach, even from those whom she will gain nothing in return. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So not only is she others-centered with her resources, she is others-centered with her words. She's an investor in the lives of those around her. She not only takes in wisdom, but she gives it out. Her mouth speaks wisdom. Instruction is on her tongue. But she's not bossy, not just always ready with a word of correction or condemnation. No, with her words, she was always ready with teaching of kindness. She will teach. She will correct. But she will do so with kindness and with wisdom. The woman of godly character is others-centered. The second, the woman of godly character is diligent, meaning she is characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. A godly woman is one who spends her energy honestly, steadily, and gladly. Look at verse 13 and 14. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Look at verse 19. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. Verse 22, she makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. So bottom line, she's a worker, both at home and in the marketplace. Okay, now be careful here. Does that mean that I have to have a job? Should I have majored in agriculture or real estate or fashion design? Does that mean that I should quit my job and knit flax, whatever that is? Do they have distaffs at Hobby Lobby? Again, that's not what this text is saying. What this text is saying is that a godly woman is industrious. Whether just for her family or for others, she uses what she has to get the job done and to do it well. She's not a frivolous spender of time or money. She's not complacent. She's not lazy. She works diligently and uses the fruit of her labors wisely. Verse 27 summarizes well, says she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A woman of godly character is diligent. The third, a woman of godly character is fearless. Fearless. Not like Taylor Swift fearless. This means she's not afraid to have high standards and to stick to them. Look at verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. The woman of godly character is strong. She is prepared, and she is confident. She doesn't worry about whether or not guys are attracted to bulky arms. She says, boom, look at these guns. She says, you know how I got them? I work hard. And I work hard on behalf of others. Ladies, are your hands calloused and age-defined through years of loving, diligent service? Do you have laugh lines on your face? What stunning and beautiful marks those are. You show those gifts off. Do you have gray hairs and worry wrinkles from caring for your family? You wear those like badges. Every one of them is like a jewel in a royal crown. Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a glorious crown. It is found in the ways of righteousness. Look, now it's okay if you want to color your hair black, brown, blonde, blue, whatever. Just remember that does not define your value or increase your worth. A woman of godly character has arms that are strong. Her household is prepared. She is ready for any obstacle to come. The woman of godly character is fearless. The fourth. A woman of godly character is praiseworthy. Verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Okay, notice verse 29 is the only instance of comparison in this text. And it comes not from the woman herself, but from those who know her best, from her family. And comparison is used here not to bring others down, but to raise the woman up. And man, this is a moment of reflection for us. Do we encourage our wives? Do we encourage our sisters in Christ? Husbands, do you praise your wife, especially in front of your kids, as she deserves? You know, when I was a teenager, I went through a season where I just had an ungrateful, just selfish heart. And I used my words to be very snarky, to be very demeaning. And I'm ashamed of it now, but one day I said something to my mom that it was a dart. It was meant to injure. And whatever I said, it triggered something in my dad. This was the only time that I remember being actually in fear of my dad. Not like in a bad way, but in a big authority kind of way. Okay, he grew. It's the only time he really called down the thunderclouds of Thor. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "Son, that woman," and then he rattled off a list of why my mom was praiseworthy, why she deserved my respect, all the things that she did for our family, and why my rudeness to her would not be tolerated. And what I remember thinking in that moment was two things. One, okay, there is a special line around mom. I didn't know the half of what she did, and even the little I did know was worthy of my honor and my respect. The second, I thought, way to go, Dad. In my years, I had scratched his cars. I had knocked holes in his walls. I had knocked over the mailbox with our lawnmower. I had offended many important things of great value that were precious to my dad. In that moment, however, I found out something about my mom, and that she surpassed them all. Men, the way that you treat your wife says much more about you than it says about your wife. So praise her. Cheer her on. The woman of godly character is praiseworthy. Which brings us to verses 30 and 31. And what we have at the end of the entire book of Proverbs is not a list of rules, but a testimony to a life that has followed the godly wisdom contained in the rest of the book. And notice the book ends. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Here in verse 30, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Church, the Christian life is not a beauty pageant. It's not a contest to see who can display the most flash or exude the most beauty. Those things are deceptive and they are fleeting. Well, the Christian life is a race toward Christ-likeness. And this is what we ultimately learn from Proverbs 31. A woman of godly character must first be a woman of God. So ladies, do not fear the loss of what our society classifies as your beauty. Do not clamor for the fleeting winds of charm and glamour and allure. Instead, stake yourself to the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? First, it's, oh wow, there is a creator God who shaped me and formed me. It's, oh no, I have sinned against, I have rebelled against this creator God. But it's, oh yes, you have called me in Christ, so I gladly lay down my life, lay down my sinful self, and I give my life to you. Not so I can do more, not so that I will be praised, but because you, Jesus, are my only hope in life and in death, and you're worthy of my life, and you're worthy of my praise. The fear of the Lord is a response to the gospel. It's the response to the call to follow Jesus in all of life for the rest of life and to find that your worth is ultimately in him. So here's the important truth as we consider Proverbs 31. All of the attributes mentioned here in the text are dead ends in and of themselves. Others-centeredness for the sake of others-centeredness will leave you depleted. Diligence for the sake of diligence will leave you never satisfied. Fearlessness for the sake of fearlessness will leave you overconfident and reckless. Praiseworthiness for the sake of praiseworthiness will leave you prideful and bitter and only able to see yourself through other people's eyes. If you seek to follow the woman of God merely by copying her attributes, you will become a woman of self. And that is a dead end. Instead, follow the one whom the woman of God follows. Follow Jesus. And why? Because as we follow Jesus, we begin to be more like Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate personification of others-centeredness. Jesus is the ultimate personification of diligence. Jesus is the ultimate personification of fearlessness. And Jesus is the ultimate personification of that which is praiseworthy. So above all, a woman of godly character is a woman who reflects the character of God, who recognizes that ultimately her worth and her value and her beauty are all found in his worth and his value and his beauty. So ladies, wives, sisters, and especially today, moms. We want you to know that you are seen, that you are appreciated, and that you are known by your God and Father. And may we encourage you as you seek daily to live a life that trusts and follows Jesus. Let us pray. God, you are our creator, you're our sustainer, you're the giver of life and of all good gifts, and there are so many ways that we take your gifts for granted. God, I pray that today you would help us to see and focus clearly on the gift of godly womanhood, the gift of motherhood, the gift of sisterhood, and the gift of wifehood. God, all of these are your designs and your gifts. And we admit that in this broken and fallen world, we fall short, direly short, of what you have called us all to be. But God, I pray specifically for my sisters in Christ that you would encourage them today, that you would guide them, that you would give them a special hug of your Holy Spirit today, that they would know how much they mean to us, they would know how important they are, and how important they are to you. God, all that we do today is for the praise of your glorious grace. And we ask, God, that you would lead us by your word and by the power of your spirit to give of ourselves daily over to you, that we might become more like Jesus Christ, who died and rose again in our place, that we might have new life, eternal with you. It's your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.